This week, Baruch Hashem, I just inadvertently bumped into a nugget of gold. It was at my son's yeshiva the other day, and they're selling over there a sefer of the Shmuzin of the Rosh Yeshiva. Happens to be the Rosh Yeshiva of both of my son's yeshivas, two different yeshivas. He's the Rosh Yeshiva of both. And it was put out by actually the son of a friend of mine from Telstone. Seems like he did a very nice job. But the interesting part, this was really the nugget of gold. The rest of the sefer I didn't really go through yet. But the psicha, or bimkaim of psicha, what they have over there is a mimer or an essay that was written by Reb Leib Malin. Leib Malin, of course, one of the gedolim of the Mir in Europe, came over to America. It was a Shiva of Beis HaTalmud. Michal Shurkin made him famous there in Brooklyn and also here in Yeshiva. And there's a mimer from Reb Leib. In this mimer, what he does is he explores why the Holocaust happened. And basically he answers it in two words, but it doesn't mean it the way that you think it means it. He basically says the reason that the Holocaust happened and that 6 million died and that all the yeshivas and all the rabbanim were killed is because of Bittul Torah. That sounds very yeshivish, right? But he explores it a lot more deeply. Basically what he says is that starting back with the time of the Haskalah in Germany, really the Reform movement, or before the Reform movement, what started to happen was is that Jews and people began to think that there are other valuable thought systems aside from Torah. So there's Kantian philosophy, and there are all kinds of types of poetry and philosophy and music, and you know, people got very caught up with all these different types of things. People became experts. Oh, they kept on learning. There's no question about it. Some of these people, like, you know, major masmidim, you know, 16, 18 hours a day. But they also had side interests, hobbies. But the way that Torah works, he explained, is that Torah is not a study. It's not a discipline. It's not just something that you learn. Torah is life. Torah is like air. Torah is like water to a fish. A fish, when you spill water on it, it kind of comes up to the top of the water and opens up its mouth or whatever it's got over there so that you can get more and more and more of it. And if a person is not eating, living, breathing, sleeping Torah, so what ends up happening is you lose your taste for Torah and it doesn't go in as well. It becomes less interesting. And therefore, even if people were learning 16 hours a day, the echos, the quality wasn't the same. And eventually they started to lose their tam. They started to lose their taste. And they started learning less. And some people, you know, were perik all altogether. And things got flimsier and flimsier and flimsier. And for Klal Yisrael, their life, their air was no longer Torah. And therefore, says Reb Leib, there was a churban of the Mekaymes HaTorah. There was a churban of all of the yeshivas. There was a churban of all of the people. There was a churban of the leaders. That's what he says. It's very frightening. But in a certain way, it's a mechayev, which can give you chizuk, because, you know, we think, okay, fine, tens of pair, we have a nice schedule here in yeshiva, you know, hopefully keeping all of the siddurim, you know, more or less, and putting in a lot of time, and okay, fine, you know, we're doing good. But on the other hand, you read something like this, and no matter how good you're doing, how good is my quality? Okay, nobody is into Kant anymore. People don't care about Plato or Aristotle, or people don't care about poetry and music, you know, maybe blaring, you know, raucous type of stuff. But people do care about other things. I mean, everyone's life dream is, you know, to make $1 billion before they're 30. So that they can have lots of power and engage themselves in every type of pleasure and pursuit. And there are all kinds of ideas flying around the world, and everybody knows that that does drown out our quality. And Reb Leib says, what's a yeshiva? And get a load of this. He says, a yeshiva is supposed to be like a Gan Eden, Kairim Chet Adam Arishin. Before Adam Arishin did anything wrong, the entire world was one big base medrash. Even if people weren't learning, but you know, they were totally in this zone where they were touching base with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Adam Arishin messed that up. Reb Chaim Volozhiner came and said, we're going to bring it back. What we'll do is we'll create this little cubicle called the yeshiva, where people are just going to be sitting and learning all day long, which means that they're, you know, studying the Dvar Hashem, they're in touch with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and there's not going to be anything else there. Have to keep it crystal clean and pure and good. And it's going to be like Gan Eden, Kairim Chet Adam Arishin. So it's a very high standard. It's a very high standard for anybody. It's a very high standard for us. But what I want to talk about today is the only way that you can really get to that standard and really live up to that is if you're extremely inspired by the idea. That this is what we're trying to accomplish, this is what we're trying to do. And inspiration is not something very easy. Inspiration is, you know, something that sometimes you almost have to turn your mind off to. Turn your mind off in order to accomplish. And this is what I really want to talk about today, because I came across, you know, it's really a Rashi that I've been seeing every single year since I remember. But this year at Mamish, like, hit me in between the eyes in a very, very powerful way. It's like, wait a second. How do you live with this? This is a very, very startling, demanding type of a thing, and that's what I would like to share with you today. Margalo Bapume, the Rosh Yeshiva, Mashkiach, talks about it often also. The Rambam at the end of Shemitah V'Yovel, that's Shemitah, Leishevet Levi Bilvad. It's not only Shevet Levi, the Kayanim, the Levim, who eat Trumas and Maestris, don't have to work. Anybody who wants to spend his life engaged in Avodas Hashem and nothing else is entitled to do it. And there's a Havtacha that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will take care of him. So that's our hero. Our hero is the Shevet Levi Bilvad, Shevet Levi, and anybody who aspires to be like Shevet Levi. Who doesn't aspire to be like Shevet Levi? Esav didn't. Esav said, "V'lamazel li b'chayra. What do I need this stuff for? What do I need Avodas Hashem? Avodas Hashem is dangerous. You serve in the Beis HaMikdash, and it's not the way that you're supposed to. You're dead. So v'lamazel li b'chayra. Okay, but that's Esav. We're not Esav. Who wants to be like Esav? We want to be like Shevet Levi. But the truth is that after this week's Parsha, I'm not so sure. I'm not so sure that Esav wasn't the wiser person than this Shevet Levi fellow that we're talking about in the Rambam. Because if we go through the Parsha, we take a look at a couple of Midrashim, we're going to find out that Esav is very, very easy to rationalize, very, very easy to associate and to get into what Esav is saying. Let's take a look at what it says in the Parsha. Yaakov Avinu goes to Lavan, he meets Rachel, he works, he marries Leah, he marries Rachel. HaKadosh Baruch Hu sees that Leah was the snua, that she wasn't the preferred wife, and so she gets all the kids right away. Reuven, Shimon, Levi, Yehuda, they all have interesting names. Comes the name of Levi. Levi is Apam Yilove Ishti, Hagel Yilove Ishi, that according that that Yaakov Avinu will accompany himself to me right now. And then Rashi tells us something very, very interesting. He's quoting really two midrashim and mushing them together. The first medrash is over here in Vayetze. The medrash says, it's interesting, has a lashon over here. It says, Al Kain Karashma Levi. Al Kane is like above the Kane. Yeah? That's what he was. He was Levi, but he's Al Kane. Zuck the Medrash. Every time that it says Al Kane, so it refers to somebody who's Marba Buchlusin. What does it mean, Marba Buchlusin? That means that when they did a population count, there was a lot of them. Okay, so who does it say Al Kane by? Yehuda. They did the census. Yehuda is like in the 70,000s. He's got the most. Who else does it say Al Kane? By Dun. Dun, even though there was just one Hushim, see, like 62,000, something like that, right? Also, he's number two player. The third one that it says, Marvin Bechlusin, is who? Levi. Wait a second. Olam Farshi HaMedrash start jumping up and down over there. Let's look at the numbers for Levi. Go back to the videotape. What does it say in Levi? It says by Levi, 20-some-odd thousand. But it's even worse. Because all of the Shvatim, they counted them from 20 years and up. Shevet Levi are counted from 30 days and up. The little babies. And they've got less than anybody else. And that's called Marba Buchlusin. Answers the Medrash, really answers the Mefarshim, and Rashi brings it. They base it on another Medrash in Bamidbar. Levi had tons and tons of people. Levi had 60,000, 70,000. You know, he was in that ballpark. He was more than all the others. But says the Medrash, Lefishaya, Arayin Mechale b'nei Kahas. Because b'nei Kahas, they hung around the Aron, they carried the Aron, and if you weren't mechabe the Aron properly, you didn't act the way that you were supposed to, your aspirations weren't high enough, Hayimimaton, Shayimikatzer Yemeyim. They would die young. So there were tons of Levim. Everybody wants to be like Levi. But the Levim, because they hung around the Aron, they died young. But just let's think about the numbers. Let's assume that they were like, you know, Shevet Dun, okay? Shevet Dun had 60,000. That means that they had 60,000, not, you know, babies, 60,000 people above 20. It gets knocked down to 20,000 when you start counting from 30 days old. And those are not the people who are dying, right? The people who are dying are probably, you know, adults who are like, you know, 30, 40, something like that, dying young. You make a generous cheshbon, you know, maybe one-fifth of the Levim lived. Chamushim we talk about, go out of there. You're talking about a virtual Holocaust constantly with Shevet Levi. Talmidei Rabbi Akiva, Le'nagu Kavod Zebizah. Okay, one-time deal, they get wiped out. Shevet Levi, constantly. Constantly. Why? Because of the fact that they're doing this Avodas HaKodesh. So like I'm saying, Esav looks pretty smart. Why do you want to do that for? It's not practical. Just learn a little bit Torah, do some mitzvahs, get yourself a good job, have a wife and kids and family, and like that's it. What do you need it for? Le'sheva Levi Bovad? Who needs it? What, do you want to die when you're 40? Die with 50? Chas v'shalom? That's a massive kasha. But on top of that, and they also asked this kasha, that it says Al Kain, that there was a mila to Levi. Levi is looked at it, they're elevated for doing this or for having this. What's the elevation? You want to have 70,000, 80,000 people or whatever it is, so everybody could die young, so you have 20,000 from the Nephilim. It's a tragedy. It's horrible. It's a Holocaust. So what's the Al Kain? What's the great thing that Levi did? But if you look at the Hemshech of the Medrash, it gives you the key and the seeds to what you need to be successful in Limud HaTorah and Avodas HaKodesh. I'll tell you, not only that, but anything great that you want to achieve in your life. I once had a conversation, you know, a number of years ago, with somebody who I consider to be a very big Talmud Chacham. And he said something that was totally unconventional and, you know, whatever it is in the yeshiva world or whatever. You say too loud and you get stoned. He said that I think really that, you know, people, even big Talmidei Chachamim, they should all make sure that they also have a job outside of learning. Okay, there's a whole machlekes rishenim between the Rambam and the Tashbitz as to whether a person has to also have a job on the side, whether that's what the Tanoim did, the Amoraim, this, that, the other thing. But he came with a smach from Mishnah Pirkei Avos. Mishnah Pirkei Avos seems to pretty much say that. From Gamliel B'nai Shal Rabbi Yehuda Anasi, Oimer Yofet Talmud Torah Derech Eretz. Talmud Torah together with a job is a good thing. She yigia shnei mishkach asavayin. V'chol Torah she'ein ima malacha seva b'teil v'gerer asavayin. You don't work along with your learning, so then, you know, you're doomed to failure. You look at the Mefarshim over there, it says, because you're not going to have parnasa, you're going to be molastim sabrius. But he wanted to tell you, no, even without that, you need two of them in order to be an Adam HaShalem. Otherwise, you're not going to make it. There's a smach to that, too. The Gemara in Brachas. Harbei asu kirushim bar yachai. They didn't work at all. V'loy al biyadam. It didn't work for them. Harbei asu kirub yishmael. V'ol biyadam. It did work. So it's safer. It's definitely safer to pursue a livelihood and learn at the same time. What Reb Chaim Volozhiner says means working and learning at the same time. We won't go into today. That's another scary thing that we saw this week. But one, you know, what's it called? One is enough. But it's definitely safer. On the other hand, you take a look at the Rambam at the end of Shemitah V'Yovel. He is not talking about Rabbi Shmuel. He's not talking about this Mishnah in Pirkei Avos. He's saying that anybody who wants, not Veruch HaYesai, and he's straight, he's Yashar Kasher Baroya like him, he remains straight, he can be like a Levi, he can be like a Kohen, he doesn't work, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to give him his money, and he's Kodesh Kadashim, he's the holiest of the holy. So the Rambam is clearly saying a different standard. So if it's not safe, and most of the people don't make it, and all the Levim die, so how are you going to try it? What are you going to do? I mean, what's the Rambam saying? You take a look at the end of the Medrash over there in Bamidbar, and it gives you the answer. Why is it said Al Kain? Why are the Levim considered to be elevated? Zuck the Medrash, Ayim Akatzer Yemeim, the Afal Pikain, Mechibas HaKodesh, because they loved HaKodesh Baruch Hu so much. They were so inspired, Hayu Rotzim B'nei Ka'as Acharav. They ran after that Ara. Lefikach Hela Aleim Schar Kilu Ben Chedesh Nechnesu L'Shamesh. The people who, what's it called, went in to do the Aveda at 30, so they got tremendous schar. Why? Because even though it wasn't practical, even though you had to take a leap of faith, but the chiba, the ava, the inspiration was so incredible that they couldn't say no. See, you say, this is nuts. This is crazy. No one lives like that. But it's not true. You ever see somebody who tried to win gold in the Olympics? Not one of your friends. Anyone who tries to win gold in the Olympics, anybody who tries to achieve something great in life, sets himself up in a situation where he's going to have to struggle with tremendous disappointment. Disappointment if he doesn't win. Tremendous sacrifice, what he's allowed to eat. When he sleeps. His whole crazy schedule. Why? Because he wants to be great. Somebody who wants to make it big is a top-ranked lawyer or doctor. That's easier. Somebody who wants to be top-notch in any field. You're taking tremendous risk. But if you want to be great at anything, You have to be so inspired that you're willing to overlook that. What about a machanech? What about a rav? How many times do you get yourself in a situation where you just end up with tremendous disappointment? The board of directors is a bunch of bums. Or even if they're not a bunch of bums, but they make a mistake, you know, sit and preach about Kavod HaTorah, and you're packing, you know, every decade to go get another job. So who needs it? Why do it? It's not practical if you're inspired. If you have a love for it, so then you can overcome all of these cheshbainas. And that's exactly what the Rambam means over here. Parku mi'al tzavaroi o ha-cheshbainas ha-rabim asher bikshu b'nei adam. Don't think about it. The love is too great. I'm too inspired. As I'm saying this, and really even before I'm saying this, like, oh, come on, you know, this is like really intense, you know. Be so inspired that you don't talk and you don't think about the practicalities of life. But on the other hand, it's true. It's 100% true. If you want to be great in anything, you have to be so inspired that you don't take into account all of these little practicalities. Otherwise, you just can't get anywhere. People sometimes look at Limud HaTorah as something which is, you know, it's totally practical. Rabbi Shurkin always talks about it and talked about the guy who was, you know, asked him what he was doing. He says, yeah, I'm learning in Brisk and living in Wolfson. And his attitude was, that guy's not going to make it. Why? Because if you're putting the two things together, then that shows that, you know, you're living a totally practical life. Learning in Brisk, living in Wolfson. That's not the way that it goes. I'm learning. Everything else takes care of itself. That's my love. That's my desire. That's how you achieve greatness in anything. And that's the answer to the question. As uncomfortable as it might seem to be, how can you have a situation where these Levium, they know that what they're doing is dangerous. Anybody who aspires to something great knows that what he's doing is dangerous. Sometimes it's a shorter lifespan. Sometimes it's that you're not going to have parnassa. Sometimes it's just that, you know, the letdown or the disappointment may be so unbelievable that, you know, you may not be able to take it. But if you believe in what you're doing and you love what you're doing enough, so then be'ezus Hashem, you go forward and you do it. Learning in yeshiva is not a simple undertaking. You can sit and learn in yeshiva and book your time and sit and learn over the Gemara. But if a person aspires to learn in a yeshiva the way the Reb Leib said to learn in yeshiva, that you live and breathe and sleep and think learning all day long, that's something that you can only achieve if you're entirely inspired by what it is that you're doing. And you have to get in touch with how unbelievable it is and what a special endeavor it is. And how lucky we are to have it. And if we understand what it is that we're doing, then we can reach that level of inspiration that could take us not just through a couple of years in yeshiva, but be'ez Hashem, through a lifetime. Shivti be'ez Hashem kol yimei chayai, because that's ultimately what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to live in Gan Eden from the time that we're born until we leave this planet. Have a good Shabbos.